I'm Peter Solomon, your tune of the morning show on Minnesota's Jazz Station 88.5. I'm joined today by pianist Aaron Parks. He's going to be performing at Berlin in Minneapolis Wednesday, February 4th. Parks is a Seattle native who spent much of his early career working with trumpeter Terrence Blanchard. He's a Blue Note recording artist. This music, a piece called Little River, is from his latest release, By All Means, with bassist Ben Street, saxophonist Ben Solomon, and legendary drummer Billy Hart. In the conversation that follows, Parks talks about his new recording, he discusses what it was like being labeled a prodigy, and he reflects on how he's navigated having bipolar disorder and how that's impacted his career.
Hey, I'm Aaron Parks, and I'm a piano player, composer, and I'm currently situated in what is passing for an office in my house in Lisbon, Portugal, where I now live.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background? I know you started playing jazz at a fairly young age and read that you were already studying as a teenager. How did you get introduced to the music?
Well, I got introduced to the music through some really, I was very lucky to have teachers who from a young age, rather than dictating to me what my curriculum should be, they asked what I was interested in. And I started playing the piano when I was roughly 10 years old or so, but without a structured approach particularly, just improvising at first. And so when those first piano teachers asked me what I liked, I said, well, I like to make things up on the piano. And then they said, well, have you heard of jazz? And I said, no, I haven't, but tell me about it. And they played me some recordings. And the stuff that got me hooked originally was Ray Brown Trio. That was what really got me. Ray Brown Trio, especially with Gene Harris. Then the records with Benny Green, Jeffrey Keyser, you know, those piano trios. Gregory Hutchinson on drums, Kareem Riggins. Very formative music for me. And then from there, the whole spectrum of jazz sort of opened up bit by bit. But that was my entry point.
So I know early on you did some work with Terrence Blanchard, and you're present on at least three recordings, including music from the Spike Lee documentary, A Requiem for Katrina. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that gig and what you gleaned from the work you did with Terrence Blanchard. You were such a young performer at that time.
Well, one of the things that I feel very fortunate about, just in terms of the opportunities that I had and also glad for the decisions I made at the time, is that there was one path that was kind of presented to me. I was on the cover of the Seattle Times being hailed as like a prodigy young piano player when I was 16 years old. Just bewildering, to say the least, and makes you feel good but also confused and like, how am I supposed to live up to these ideas? And one of the paths forward would have been to sort of pursue that and just be like sort of a wunderkind and start trying to lead my own band and capitalize on that. And one thing that I'm really grateful for is that I knew enough to know that that's not what I really wanted, to know that I wasn't ready for that at that time, and that what I really wanted more than anything was having the chance to apprentice with some of the masters of the music. And for me at the time, the music that I loved the most was Terrence Blanchard's. His record called Wandering Moon, which was maybe 99 or 2000, I can't remember, but that lived in my CD player. It, like, there were not a lot of things that got it out of rotation. And so having the opportunity to play with his band, which I had the chance to do for 5 years, from when I was 18 until I was around 23, super formative. And more than anything, in terms of not necessarily what was being said, but what was being done. It was an opportunity to learn by doing, and having a safe space to take risks and make mistakes, and learn for yourself. But more than anything, trusting the young band members that he had in his band at the time to be self-motivated, being their own teachers, trusting us that we also were trying to figure it out and do our best, rather than only trying to please him. So there were so many things, but that scratches the surface of that, I think.
I looked at the links on your website and I read your recent essay in Medium talking about how living with bipolar disorder has affected you. And could you talk about that experience and what you had to navigate?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of different things that went into that. Long story short, when I was in my mid-20s, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but I kind of didn't really act like it was real. You know, I had that diagnosis and kind of in a certain way hid it from myself because I was hiding it from the world in one way or another, and I kept it as a secret, which sort of meant that it was a source of shame and something that then I didn't really want to look at. And yeah, there were some circumstances during a tour in 2022 that I had where things started to careen out of control with a manic episode that I had on the road, to the point that in the middle of the tour, it became clear that it was unsustainable, or just at the very least, a very bad idea for me to continue on that tour without like increasingly abstract things happening. That was halfway through a tour that was supposed to be about a month long. That was rough, you know, canceling on promoters with that type of short notice, canceling on my bandmates. It was a heavy decision to make, but it was something that felt necessary, and is something that taking time to reckon with that for myself, realizing the importance of proper sleep, of exercise, of mindfulness practice, of all of these different things that help to make it so that I don't end up feeling just like a victim of this disease, but someone who lives with it and is doing my best to navigate it.
Was going public with that experience a difficult thing to do, and has that been beneficial to you?
It was difficult. It felt impossible for many years to even think of talking about it. But honestly, once I started writing the essay, and then especially once I published it, there was this lightness, this sense of why was I holding on to this so tightly? Why was I so afraid of people finding out about this? I had had sort of crises a number of times over the course of my career, and I'm sure that a lot of people in the know in the music industry knew that there were certain things that I was dealing with, even if they didn't know the right name for it. So it wasn't like I was successfully keeping it a secret from anyone, anyways, you know? But still, it did feel heavy until I actually published it. And then when I published it, I have to say that it set me free from that type of fear. There is something, I think, about facing a fear head on and walking towards it, even, that for me, at least, has been really powerful.
I'm Peter Solomon, and you're listening to a conversation with pianist Aaron Parks. Aaron Parks is going to be playing at Berlin in Minneapolis on February 4th. His latest recording on Blue Note Records, By All Means, includes performances by bassist Ben Street, saxophonist Ben Solomon, and legendary jazz drummer Billy Hart. Can you tell me about the genesis for this recording and kind of what you were going for?
The trio, I had a sort of a long-going trio since for over 10 years now with Ben Street and Billy Hart. We recorded a record that came out in 2017 called Find the Way on ECM. We would play a couple of times a year, not that much, but we like kept the thing going and had a repertoire for ourselves. I had a Vanguard week. I was playing at the Village Vanguard in New York, and I had it booked for that trio. And just a few months before the gig, I had had a well, at the risk of sounding sort of woo-woo, I had a dream, you know? Like, and I just thought to myself, like, I want to hear that band with a horn player up front. You know, I had heard Billy's band so much, you know, Billy's own quartet with Mark Turner and Ethan Iverson. I'd gone to see them playing the Vanguard all the time, and I'd noticed the way that Billy's an incredible piano trio player, but there's another gear that he sort of unleashes when he's playing behind a horn player. I wanted in on some of that action. I wanted to comp with him while he was in that sort of zone. And so that was the idea to expand to the quartet. And I had heard of this, the wonderful saxophone player, Ben Solomon, originally from Chicago. He had come to my attention via some clips on the internet. And I played with him in 2022, late in the year, liked what I heard, called him for this gig at the Vanguard. And so that was his first time playing a lot of this music. It had only been a couple of gigs when I was just like, I like what I'm hearing. I want to make this a record somehow. And I looked into seeing if we could record live at the last minute, but that wasn't possible. So instead, we found a studio, Brooklyn Recording in Brooklyn, New York. And the next week after that Vanguard run, we went in for 2 days and spent a few hours in the studio. And really, in many ways, it was a record that was not planned at all. It was a record that captures a spirit of a certain moment. There was something about that moment that does tie back to, you know, your earlier questions about bipolar disorder, because this was some of the first music that I'd been playing in 2023 when I recorded this. That week at the Vanguard was starting to feel like I was reconnecting with something. That the months that had immediately followed writing my essay, I sort of plunged down inevitably into a sort of a prolonged depression. And my emergence out of that, what sort of coincided with this record. So there is something of like a returning to myself and a returning to things that I love, to unabashedly straight ahead jazz. The things that still keep me going. I love music that blends all sorts of things together, and I also love music that isn't trying to do anything new, but that's not self-consciously trying to be new, but is more interested in real communication and authentic presence and connection with one another.
Aaron Parks is going to be playing at Berlin in Minneapolis on February 4th. His latest recording on Blue Note Records, by all means, includes performances by bassist Ben Street, saxophonist Ben Solomon, and legendary jazz drummer Billy Hart.